This episode is brought to you by Ursa Minor Outfitters. Folks, I'm absolutely in love with my Loon mug. It's handmade. It's an absolute piece of art. Whether it's at the office or at the house, people keep asking to check it out. If you're not a Loon fan, they also have other beautiful mugs for wildlife fans of moose, bears, and eagles. They specialize in products highlighting the outdoors and local pride through quality design by local artists. They've even started expanding into items beyond mugs, like apparel, dog accessories, and soon candles and more. They also try to partner and highlight other small businesses, and in some cases, forgo profits in lieu of charitable giving to help their community, such as the dog rescue. So check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for our four-legged hiking partners, they also have a portable silicone dog bowl and also a sweet over-the-collar dog bandana. Go check them out, ursaminoroutfitters.com, and don't forget to enter promo code HIKESMIKES10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. Welcome everyone to the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm your host, Ivan, and together we'll embark on a weekly journey connecting with extraordinary hikers from all corners of the U.S. and beyond. Throughout these winter months, we've had the privilege of conversing with some remarkable individuals this season. Their experiences and adventures will leave you yearning to hit the trails. In this week's episode, we're heading down to Bakersfield, California, to talk to a returning guest from the Caminatas en Micrófonos episodes. His name is Jonathan, and he's the founder and creator of Outdoors Adventures Plus. You can follow him on Instagram at _Juan_Flowers_. Jonathan shares with us his personal hiking journey and experiences, the origin story of Outdoors Adventure Plus, and what are some of his favorite hikes across the West. Without further ado, let's jump into this episode with our guest, Jonathan. Welcome, everyone, to the latest episode of the Hikes and Mikes podcast. I'm really stoked to have this guest. He's a returning guest from a previous episode that was done in Spanish for Caminatas en Micrófonos. His name is Jonathan, and he's doing some great stuff in Southern California. Jonathan, thank you so much for coming back on the podcast. You know that we always like to start off by asking our guests how long they've been hiking for and how they got started.
Well, first and foremost, Ivan, I just want to thank you for giving me the opportunity to jump back on here with you and with the audience. You know, it's always fun doing these and being able to chat. And, you know, like you said, last time we did in Spanish, this time we'll do it in English so that everybody, well, not everybody, but myself, be able to, you know, emphasize a little bit more. But my hiking journey actually started back in 2015. It was just one of those things that I was trying to look for something other than just going to the gym. So I decided to do some local hikes here in Bakersfield, California, which is in Central California. And that's kind of where it started. But my journey actually didn't really start. Like, I guess where I got more serious about it was in the beginning of 2020.
And with the Bakersfield area, how would you describe the hiking and outdoor scene in and around Bakersfield?
I would say that it's grown in popularity. Obviously, we have groups such as like the Southern Sierra Group, which is not only here in Bakersfield, but they have chapters kind of everywhere in California for people who are starting hiking or advanced hikers. But, you know, we kind of started this group because there was only maybe one other group. And obviously, I think we have those midweek hikes that we can do at a local park here, which is very hilly. I think the elevation gain is probably like 900 feet of elevation gain. But you can actually plan out a full route and get some good mileage as well as some good elevation gain. Everything around Bakersfield, on the other hand, we're driving distance to the Los Padres National Forest, which is about 45 minutes away from here. We can drive up to Tehachapi, which is another about 45 minutes. If you want to go even further, you can drive about 3 hours to the Eastern Sierras, or about 2.5 hours towards the coast. So we're in a good central location to where we're able to branch out and go to different places. And that's why we kind of host a lot of stuff down in Southern California.
You know, one thing that fascinates me about Bakersfield, and you hit it right on the head, that you can go in any direction and have a completely different landscape, whether it's the Eastern Sierras, the coast, or Los Padres National Forest. When you do find yourself with a free weekend, is there one particular direction that you like to frequent over others?
Actually, yeah, I do spend a lot more time in LA. I tend to love allowing my compass to guide me to the Santa Monica Mountain, which is about 2 hours, 2.5 hours away from me, going south, southwest in a sense. So the Santa Monica Mountains holds a very special place in my heart. Just one of those areas where there's so much to discover and so much to explore that a lot of people don't give it that much attention. But it has some of the most amazing hikes, along with hikes where you can do at sunset, you know, above the Pacific Ocean with Catalina and the Channel Islands in the distance as well.
Yeah, I am always completely amazed on the different hiking opportunities in and around LA. As someone who has family in Los Angeles, visiting them, I didn't really associate Los Angeles with outdoors and hiking, but through conversations with you and our mutual friend Justin, LA's hiking scene is really diverse, and it's really big. Like you mentioned, the Santa Monica Mountains with beautiful hikes, which I think you might have a favorite one that's in common with Justin, but Sandstone Peak, the pictures that you guys have been able to share, the rock formations, the views, it's just something completely different that I would have never thought was a short drive from LA. You know, we're recording this episode in the middle of winter, and our last episode we recorded at the tail end of summer. How was your fall hiking season? And how's the winter season been treating you?
It's kind of, you know, to be honest, it's kind of been at a standstill. There was a portion of time, you know, during the summer and fall where I kind of had a little depressive episode. And this was following my sister's passing in May. And there were things that we did here and there, but usually we tend to kind of slow down anyway during the months of like the end of November, almost into January. It kind of just gives us that moment and that time to be able to plan things for the new year, hash ideas out, see what we want to do, what we don't want to do, and all this stuff. But yeah, we did a few hikes at the tail end of summer into the fall season. And the thing is with here in California, we've been waiting for the rain to come. We've gotten some snow on the mountains. And the rain is finally making its way here. And the bad thing is when you're in Southern California or Central California, a lot of things tend to get flooded. Trails tend to get destroyed because of mudslides. And it's just a whole effect of things. So you got weirdos who love to hike in the rain and, you know, go in this hike in the snow. But I am not one of those people. I definitely love to be hiking and preferably in the heat. So yeah.
With the fall hiking season, do you have a lot of deciduous trees in and around Bakersfield where you get to experience a little bit of the fall colors?
In the city of Bakersfield, yes, you have a lot of different trees, obviously in businesses and stuff like that. But if you're going to go like Hart Park is a good area to go if you want to see that color change, you know, during the fall, you know, going into the winter. Yeah, I think a lot of our mountainous areas, not so much. They're evergreen, you know, they're those kind of forests that just kind of stay green with the pine and the sequoias and the redwoods and all that. It just, yeah. So yeah, we don't get to experience it as much as you guys do, you know, like some of the pictures you were posting on your Instagram and being able to see that. It's amazing because it's just crazy how nature in itself decides to be the canvas and paint itself in different colors in order for us to basically stand in amazement of it.
Now, one thing you guys are known for is the super blooms. But like you're saying, typically you need a little bit of rain in the winter months in order to really get those super blooms to pop. Have you had a chance to experience the super blooms over the last couple of years?
Yeah, not that we actually went, you know, dance in the prairies of, you know, poppies and all that, right? Because it's one of those Instagram famous things that people want to go find these blooms and they want to go stand in the middle of them and take pictures. And I advise against it just being because, you know, it's just like what Chief Seattle said. He says you basically only leave footprints and that's it. You know, you don't bring anything else in, don't take anything else out. You go in, admire it, appreciate it. But the Super Blooms are amazing, especially driving through the 5, which is the portion of a freeway that's known as Grapevine. The mountains, which are the Los Padres National Forest and Angeles National Forest, where they connect all along the side of those mountains. When you get good rains and you have a super bloom, you're talking about oranges and yellows and purples all over those mountains, patches and patches. I mean, and sometimes they go on for miles.
You know, one thing we've discussed off the podcast is how a lot of the spring wildflowers colors can vary from year to year depending on how the winter months were. But if folks did want to visit and see a super bloom, is there a month that tends to be more frequent than others? Like, do you see it more in April, or is it May, or even March?
I would say that if you're going to go see something, I'd give it time, because a lot of people tend to want to go at the beginning, right at the beginning of spring, and it doesn't work like that. You have to give it a few weeks, because even last year, as much rain as we had last year here in California, the poppy preserve that's here in California, which is kind of between LA and Bakersfield, they had a late bloom. The bloom was maybe like 2 weeks late, and a lot of people were going and flocking to this preserve because they wanted to get their pictures and they wanted to see it. So you kind of have to give it time, usually a few weeks, probably maybe mid-April. You'll probably still get a little bit of rain here and there in March, but I think after that point in time, you know, ground saturated with water, the flowers are germinating, you know, they're getting ready to bloom and stuff. So yeah, you just got to give it some time. So I would say probably around mid-April, if anything.
Good to know. I'm gonna have to add that to my calendar. Now, Jonathan, you've been able to visit some amazing national parks, not just in California, but also up in my neck of the woods. What have been some of your favorite national park visits over the last couple of years?
First and foremost, I would have to say, I don't know what it is. I love the desert landscape. Desert landscape is just amazing, beautiful. You know, at sunrise, sunset, yes, people think, oh, it's hot. You know, why would you want to spend your time there? I'm like, I mean, have you gone to Joshua Tree, you know, and, you know, walked amongst the cholla's, you know, which is one of the cactus there? You know, have you gone to Zion National Park and climbed Angel's Landing and looked into the canyon, you know, down below and seeing the Virgin River? And it's just amazing. So Zion National Park is definitely one of those national parks that I absolutely love. I went once, did Angel's Landing, and I want to go back and experience more of it, because I only got to do that one thing. And, you know, we were supposed to hike the Narrows, and the very next day after we did Angel's Landing, it thunderstormed and it flash flood, and the river got too high. They closed it down. And obviously those are dangerous times too. You don't want anybody going through that area, because the waters get super high. Joshua Tree National Park is definitely one of my favorites as well. I've been there plenty of times with family, with friends. The free camping that you can do at Joshua Tree National Park, you know, because if you really look into it, there is public land, which means that it's free to camp. You just first come, first serve. Yosemite, obviously, I think is everybody's, you know, go-to here in California. I think they have the most visits, and you're talking about millions of people a year. It's beautiful. Sometimes I think I'm like, you know, hopefully nobody gets mad at me for saying this, but sometimes I think it's overrated, because it's always so saturated with people during the summer, spring, and into the fall sometimes. So it just kind of doesn't allow you to move around much and do the things that you want to do. But I definitely hope to go back on an off season, in a sense, to be able to explore more of it, even get more out to places where people don't go. I love the Redwoods. Been there plenty of times. The Redwoods hold a very special place in my heart. I love that area. The Redwood trees, coastal Redwoods, such a beautiful place to be able to just walk among giants.
Yeah, man. It's one place that it has been on my bucket list for a minute now, and I definitely want to check out the Redwoods. I just found out, and sometimes the algorithm feeds you stuff that makes you think, like, are they listening? And this is one of those instances where if they were listening, I'm glad they did. I don't know if it was a group, but they planted redwoods in Washington like over 30 years ago.
Oh, wow.
So we have little pockets of redwoods in Washington where they think, and I forgot how long, but within my lifetime, they're going to surpass the local evergreen trees as far as height. 20, 30 years, they'll be taller than any other tree in the vicinity.
Yeah, I mean, you got to give it to those trees, man. They're resilient. You know, like another national park that we've gone to that's not too far away from us in Bakersfield is the Sequoia and Kings National Park. Another area where you can go and experience, you know, these giant sequoias. The sequoias and the redwoods, they're cousins. You know, they're part of that same tree family. But those trees are resilient for sure. And I think that's probably why I'm drawn to that area so much, because when you really look into the science of it, those redwoods, they're interconnected by the root system underground. So you wonder how tall and, you know, how big they are and how they are able to withstand a lot of things. It's because the interconnectedness of the roots allows them to grow so tall, basically kind of hold each other up, okay. Which is the coolest thing, because you look at it and it's just kind of one of those like ooh and ah moments of the fact that the roots don't grow down, they grow out. And when one falls, the one that falls feeds the rest of them after it dies. Same thing with the sequoias. You know, the sequoias are resilient to fire. So when fire season comes, they basically have to burn in order for the new seeds to drop from the cones and stuff on these trees to basically start a whole new process of these trees. I mean, when you think about it, you look at going places like national park, it's not necessarily the hiking, but more of the scientific facts of nature and being able to just be like, wow, like this is so cool. Because every place that I named, you know, Yosemite with the granite rock all over the place, you know, the sequoias and Kings National Park with the sequoias, the redwood, the Joshua trees, everything just amazes me.
Now, California has a ton of national parks, and you mentioned some of the big ones, the more popular ones like Yosemite and Sequoia. I feel like the two that I've heard great things about, and they definitely have grown in my bucket list, but that's Kings Canyon and Pinnacles National Park. Having visited Kings Canyon, I hear like you get a lot of this, not necessarily the same, but you get similar views to Yosemite, but without the crowds. Is that something that you would agree with?
Yes. There's a place in Kings Canyon National Park. It's called Zumwalt Meadows. It's a little hike that you could do there, but they call it Little Yosemite. It is it's kind of like the Valley of Yosemite, but a little bit smaller, and where people can, you know, go walk and hike and do whatnot. But yeah, Kings Canyon is definitely known as like the Little Yosemite without the crowds. And it's definitely a place you do want to go visit, because not a lot of people go there. The only thing you have to keep in mind is when you do go to places in Kings Canyon National Park, the higher in elevation you go, you have to bring tarps with you.
Why is that?
So you have to bring these tarps to where you put them under your car or lay them out on the floor, drive over them, and then pull them over your car and kind of fasten them, because we have these little creatures, these little critters called marmots, yellow belly marmots. And these marmots love copper wiring. So they'll climb into your engine, and for some reason, they're always gnawing on all your electrical parts in your car.
No way.
And people have gotten stranded who didn't go prepared. They couldn't leave because these marmots basically went under the undercarriage of the car and tore up their engine by chewing and gnawing the wire. So yes, keep that in mind. If you want to go to Kings National Park, the higher in elevation you go for a hike, make sure you take big enough tarps that are going to cover your car.
That is wild. Your guys's marmots are hardcore. Our marmots up here in Washington, especially in the North Cascades, they're known to chew on cork. So if you have cork handles on your wrecking balls, they'll eat those up. But the fact that your marmots are going after like copper in a car,
I think
a whole nother level.
I think our marmots are California based, obviously, you know, and I think they're trying to hotwire cars to possibly get out of there. But I don't know. It can be just something that they love doing. I don't know why. I think I remember reading something one time. I think it's just because of the metallic taste to it or something that they love, and that's why they do it. But
it just takes one to find out, and then it tells the rest of the gang, like, hey, these things that are rolling up into the woods, they have this thing.
Yeah. You know, and the other park that you mentioned, Pinnacles National Park, been there, love that area. There's another public land camping thing that's about 45 minutes away from Pinnacles that we stayed at. It's absolutely beautiful at night. You're talking about looking at the Milky Way just go across the night sky, and you can sit there for hours just looking at the sky. But Pinnacles National Park is definitely one of those areas. Beautiful. It's all volcanic rock that basically makes up this park. They got trails throughout there. And the other beautiful thing there too is that you have a viewing point for the California condors. It's one of the areas that is actually protected so that they can nest. And usually during springtime and all that, if they've nested and they've, you know, had babies, then you'd be able to see all the activity and stuff of the California condors there at Pinnacles National Park.
Oh, man, that's just another reason to go to Pinnacles. Now, Jonathan, we like to do a deep dive into our guest's Instagram and pick out a picture that kind of captures our attention and ask the guests a little bit about the picture, about the hiking area. The one that caught my attention is of the Hollywood sign. And not because the Hollywood sign itself, but because you captured it from behind, which I think most of the time that you see the Hollywood sign, it's somebody standing in front of it or nearby. But you're able to capture it from a completely different angle that I didn't even think was possible. Can you share a little bit about that picture and the height to get up to that vantage point?
Yeah. So the Hollywood sign sits perched on the side of the mountains of Griffith Park. But Griffith Park, what a lot of people don't know, is that it is actually a part of the Santa Monica Mountain. The thing is that the freeway, I'm trying to remember what freeway it was. I think it's the 1405 and the 110 kind of separates this mountain range, right? It's one of those areas, obviously, that a lot of people, midweek hikers, people on the weekends, I mean, that park is never, I guess in a sense, it's never alone because there's always people there. But that particular hike, you can access it from different points. But there's two points that I love accessing that trail to go to the Hollywood sign. And one of them is going up to the Wisdom Tree, which is known as Burbank Peak, is where the Wisdom Tree is at. You can traverse that little bit of that mountain range and you'll hit Cahuenga Peak. And then you'll hit Mount Lee, which is behind the Hollywood sign. Of course, like you said, everybody takes pictures in front of it and they hike up to a certain point and they get their picture and so forth and so forth. But if you really want to experience how big those letters are and how beautiful the downtown LA skyline is, Griffith Park behind the Hollywood sign on Mount Lee is the place to do it. The other way to access that trail as well is you start at the carousel in Griffith Park, which is the carousel parking lot. It's because there's an actual carousel in the middle of this park. You park there and you can access it through that trail through the back way, which will take you all the way up to Mount Lee. But like I said, there's so many ways of doing it that you can access it. For our fourth anniversary, we're going to do an 11 peak challenge there in Griffith Park. And wow, we're going to hit 11 different peaks from there. So looking forward to that. And definitely, hopefully we can get some good footage as well as, you know, pictures behind the sign again.
Now with that 11 peak challenge, what's the distance and elevation you'll be covering?
The distance is probably about 11 plus miles. And elevation is actually really not a lot. Griffith Park is one of the portions of the Santa Monica Mountains where it's a lot lower. Trying to think if what the tallest peak there is. It might be somewhere around 2,000, about 2,000 feet. It's not necessarily hard. Obviously, it's just because depending on the time of day you do it, people you're going with, and everything just adds up. But it's one of those things I've always wanted to do and just try. I mean, some of these peaks, you know, you'll do a little bit of rock scrambling, but not so much. It's just the distance because you're going from one end of the park to the other. And depending on where you park, whether you go point to point and go back down and your car's there and you Ubered all the way around to the other side, you know, or you basically go from point to point and then point to point back. So it can go from being an 11 plus mile hike to almost 19 to 20.
Hey, that's just, you know, a short distance from downtown LA. It's wild.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, the Hollywood sign is definitely one of those things that you need to see if you're ever in LA.
Now, Jonathan, we've been talking and you shared about this on our previous episode, but you've been an inspiration because you are the creator and founder of an amazing hiking group called Outdoor Adventures Plus. that has served a lot of community members in and around your community there in Bakersfield and Central and Southern California. Can you share a little bit about the creation of Outdoor Adventures Plus and a little bit about what you guys have been doing over the last couple months and years?
Yeah, Outdoor Adventures Plus was founded in the year of 2020. It was established then. It was pre-pandemic. It was myself and three other individuals who, after coming down from Angel's Landing, were like, hey, you know, we should start a hiking group. It'd be fun to start this as a church ministry, to be able to bring people along with us on the journey, wherever it is that we go and decide to go. But little by little, it kind of, that idea faded, and we just were a hiking group in the Bakersfield community, providing midweek hikes as well as weekend hikes in different places. And yeah, I mean, from 2020 now to 2024, you know, we're in year four. We've had a lot of people join us and support us in so many different ways. We've met so many great people in the community, great leaders. And of course, every group is their own entity. They're all bringing something different to the community and offering it to the people who would like to join them, you know. And us, in a sense, we kind of didn't want to just stick with just hiking. So that's kind of where the plus comes in, because we wanted to add more than just hiking. And we hosted trail runs with, you know, other groups. We've collaborated with a lot of different people in the community, you know, like weekend experiences. We've hosted camping, you know, trips. We've done backpacking trips. And we just kind of hope to continue to grow and continue to add more outdoor outlets for people to be able to join us. And I think that's one of the greatest things about being a lead in the outdoor community and for a group, is that when you have like-minded individuals to come along the journey with you to help you, everyone's going to bring something different. You know, we've had people come join us and lead a little bit for the group in the earlier years, and then I was doing it for a portion by myself. And as of last year, I was just kind of putting feelers out to see if anybody was willing to, that was out in the community, that wanted to maybe be a lead, in a sense, to kind of be a part of the family, of the Outdoor Adventures Plus family, so that we can continue to grow and offer more and be able to just do more, rather than just one person planning two things a month and then that's it, you know. That's why I said we use December and January to kind of plan things. I mean, we already have about 7 months covered for the year of nonstop backpacking, cleanups, trail runs, hikes, and that's already done and said. So it's like, wow, okay. So when you have people who are willing to help, you know, and I need to remind you is that these people are volunteering. I'm not paying them. They're doing it because they want to help. They love it. You know, and have to give a shout out to Sam, to Rudy, you know, to Monique and to Denise, because these people have been key people in helping me be able to like say, yeah, you guys go ahead and take the reins. And, you know, I want to see what you guys do. And they've stepped up and they've done a lot of things and provided a lot of outlets for people to do, you know. Hopefully, eventually, we'll be able to add climbing, because Denise and her husband, Matt, they're climbers as well. And they love to go to Yosemite and be able to, you know, do bouldering and stuff, and to be able to offer that to the community is just another outlet to add for people to join. Maybe you don't like trail running, but you like climbing. Maybe you don't like climbing, but you love backpacking, you know, or vice versa. Or maybe you just want to try everything and you go from there.
You know, one of the branches that has formed from Outdoor Adventure Plus is your Instagram live feed series that you do. And I was lucky enough to be asked to be a guest during Hispanic Heritage Month, and you've been able to continue interviewing some amazing guests. But how did that show kind of come about?
So yeah, with that, it was another, I guess 2020 was just one of those trial and error years. You know, you're like, well, we can't go outside, and you know, we need to do a little bit more, and how are we going to be relevant, right? You know, you're a group that's just starting out. The outdoors get shut down. You're waiting for a couple months for them to open back up so that you can go out there. I think I started to do the lives in 2021. It was that same year that the individuals who I started this with kind of said, here, we don't want it anymore. We're too busy. And they kind of just left it on my lap and said, here, it's yours. So I kind of, you know, just the light turned on above my head. I was like, man, there's so many ideas and so many things I want to do. And I did kind of want to emphasize on making this like a BIPOC group, you know, for the community and not just necessarily Latinos, but anybody and everybody. It doesn't matter, you know, your ethnicity, your race, your ethnicity, whatever. Yeah. It's basically to be able to get out there and put ourselves out there to let people know, hey, we look like you. You're able to do this and just kind of inspire people, because a lot of people are very timid on wanting to start to be an outdoorsy person. You don't have to be fit. You don't have to be, you know, chiseled and all muscly or whatever. You know, I'm a big guy. I'm like 280 pounds. I'm just a big Mexican kid, right? You know, it's one of those things, but you see me out there and it's one of those things where it's like, wow, you know, you just hope to inspire the next person and just say, you know what, if he can do it or if she can do it, you know, I want to get out there and try it too. And we kind of try to make this whole thing, you know, to make it feel like a family environment, because we want people to come back. It's not just come once and then we'll see you later. We hope.
Yeah.
And that's one of the greatest things about starting this group is being able to see people who've joined you for one hike go on joining you, you know, on the 12th hike or a backpacking trip or an outing or even just hanging outside off trail, you know, is just one of those great feelings of being able to do that and being able to reach out to those people and say, hey, you want to do a live with me? You know, and of course, some people are hesitant, you know, because they don't want to be on a live screen and, oh, people are going to see me and stuff like that. And usually when I tell them, I said, hey, don't even think about the people. It's just two friends having a conversation. It's that simple. We've had some great feedback, some great guests on. I think in 2021, when I did a series in May for Mental Health Awareness Month, and I had four different people. I had an ultra runner, which was Elements of Daisy. She was a great guest, and it just kind of broke down how the outdoors helped her mentally. We had Blanca, who's actually local to Bakersfield. She's a mental health advocate. I had a therapist, Jasmine was on here, and she was just kind of giving you the, you know, the perspective from a therapist on the types of mental illnesses that there are, kind of more or less of like the what they do structurally to kind of help these people to be able to move past that. And I also had a young man named Sergio who goes by the Hiking King, and I wanted to have him on there specifically because there's not too many guys who are open about their mental health. And I think that's one of those stigmas that we have to break, allow men to have that space to be able to be comfortable, to actually come out and say, you know what, I need help, you know?
Yeah.
And it's, you know, because we were raised differently. Our dad's very macho, don't cry. You know, it's one of those things that when we did that series, I said, I'm going to continue to do it. And being able to have people on for Hispanic Heritage Month or Black History Month, and even people who jumped on to kind of just help people who are through hikers to give their advice to people who would want to try a through hike, something on backpacking 101, kind of like the ins and outs of it, what kind of gear you need, just things like that to be able to provide for the community. I guess in a sense was the plan to have it as resources for people where they can go back to the video and say, oh, that's what they said. Okay, well, I'm going to have to write this down, because, you know, it's kind of one of those things in this community that's needed, and it's given through a lot of people like your podcast alone. You can go back to episodes and stuff, and people have mentioned the places they want to go visit or things that they've done that have helped them, you know, outdoors and so forth and so forth. So we hope that this year we can focus more on like how to, I guess, poop properly in the outdoors, you know, you know, how to pack a backpack, you know, to go backpacking, and actually make some like how-to videos to be able to use as resources for people to have. And yeah, it's been fun doing these Instagram lives. I mean, it gets tedious when you're trying to come up with questions that are relevant to the conversation and with this person. And usually eventually it goes, you know, you start it and it just works out. You know, we're fortunate enough to have you on as a guest during, you know, Latino Heritage Month last year. Dani Reyes Acosta, or Acosta Reyes, sorry if I'm butchering that. But she's also a Mexican Filipino director and filmmaker and storyteller. And we had Marta, who's the founder of Itacate Backpacking Food, you know, a Latino-based backpacking food. So to have these individuals on is for people to see, hopefully to inspire them and say, hey, I want to give that a try too. I want to try doing that. I want to be a part of this community, or I want to, who knows, maybe start doing Instagram lives too.
Exactly. No, man, you've been doing some amazing work, and I really appreciate you getting people out there, especially from the Mexican community, because I think I've shared this, but I was lucky enough to get a permit for the enchantments in 2023. Mm-hmm. And it was a complete 180 when me and my friend Rachel, who was on the enchantment shrimp as well, we went to Kolchak Lake, probably, I think it was like 10 years ago, I mean, in 2013. And it wasn't as popular as it is now, but we were definitely the only people of color up at the lake, 2013. And then fast forward 10 years later, and last year, not just around the lake, but on my way out, and as well as up in the enchantment, there were so many people of color, which was beautiful to see within that short period, because 10 years isn't much time at all to see that change in hiking. And it's not an easy hike. So the fact that people are hearing about it and going out and exploring it, and just to see that diversity on the trail, not just racially and ethically, but also seeing all women groups, hiking groups, which 10 years ago, I didn't see that. So to see those type of changes on the trail has been amazing. And I say that, you know, hiking has definitely gotten diverse. The next evolution is the backpacking community, is getting more people of color out backpacking and through hiking. I think that's just the natural progression, because at least for me, I was always a day hiker until 2023. And talking to individuals like you and previous guests motivated me and gave me the confidence to go out and backpacking.
Yeah, and I think you've mentioned it too before in one of your episodes where, you know, I think that's one of those things that even Danny had mentioned it in the interview that I had with her, is being able to get people of color, being able to give them the opportunity to do stuff like that, you know, and because backpacking is not cheap, neither is hiking, trail running, whatever activity you choose to do, it's not cheap. These outdoor companies are big, they're expensive, and being able to find alternates and different things to be able to provide stuff for people so that they can join you on certain outings like that, you know, especially people of color, is like, that's one of the first things that we all worry about, is where am I going to get the money to do this? That's why I'm grateful for a lot of these places, a lot of these brands, and a lot of these companies who give the opportunities to people to be ambassadors for them, right? You know, to be able to represent your gente out on the trails or on a backpacking trip or on a run or wherever it is that you're at. And, you know, I've had the opportunity to be ambassadors for some of these brands. And it's just, I get excited because I'm like, yes, you know, they took on, you know, this big Hispanic kid or whatever, you know, and they're giving them the opportunity, you know, to put this face out there with their logo or their brand, you know, like Athletic Brewing Company, still an ambassador for them. And I hope to do more this year with them. You know, they're a non-alcoholic beer and it's great. I think I even sent you the six pack for November, or your dry November or something.
Yeah, they came in clutch for Sober October this year.
Yeah, oh, Sober October, that's what it was. And then All Trails, you know, they gave me the opportunity to do it last year, and I'm doing it again this year, you know, which is an app that everybody uses to be able to look up trails and different things like that. You know, and this year I'll be able to work with Bigger Than the Trail, which is more of the trail running community, but they're focused on raising awareness on mental health. So brands like these that make it available for people of color to be able to be a part of that movement allows us to basically slap our face on that brand and say, look, it's a person of color. It's a person who looks like me, you know, because I think for the longest time, you look at ads and marketing and stuff, it was always geared towards a Caucasian. Now you're starting to see ads, it's Black people, it's Asians, it's Hispanics, you know, it's people of all colors and sizes. And it's just, it's great to see. But like you said, you know, if there's a progression, it took 10 years for you to see more these people of color on trails, and especially, like you said, women's groups. You know, hopefully it doesn't take that long, and hopefully that evolution happens instantly. We're able to see a lot more people out on the trails.
For sure. I commend you on all the great work that you're doing in and around your community, man. Just getting more people out there to enjoy the outdoors is a beautiful thing to see.
I definitely don't do it alone. I do it with a lot of other people. And when we work together, you know, like I said, that root system that the redwoods have, when you work together and you hold each other up, you know, with that root system. And that's what makes all of this possible.
You know, one thing that I feel like a lot of day hikers sometimes have is either a summit routine, or maybe it's an end of the hike routine. For some, it's just carrying their favorite snack on the trail. For others, it's having a trail beverage or even a summit beer. And for a few, it's having a moment of zen or looking forward to the meal afterwards. Mm-hmm. Is there a regular customer routine that you do when you reach your destination, or maybe when you make it back out?
I think when we get to the summit, it's finding a spot to sit by yourself for a few minutes and just take in the fact that you just did a hard thing, especially when you're reaching a summit. Just being able to kind of seclude yourself for a little bit and just take it all in and saying, I just did that. And then getting up, going back with the group that you went up there with, cracking open a non-alcoholic beer, cheering each other on. You know, I think it's one of those things. We definitely love to pull out our group flag and tell everybody, hey, come on, let's get a picture. And I mean, sometimes it's hard because your cameras only go in and out, you know, zoom in and out so much. Luckily enough, now with phone cameras, you're able to get a bigger group into the photos. But to be able to fit all these people into these photos, and just to come back home after and look through the photos and seeing the smiles, and like everyone has that same mindset of, we did it. Like, you know, we got here, and this is proof, you know, that we did. And one of the cool things too is, like, I tell everybody beforehand, and even after we're coming down, I'm like, hey, we're going to go find a place to have tacos. Like, it doesn't matter where it is. And I usually try to find a good coffee spot because I need that caffeine to be able to drive me back home. But yeah, those are kind of like those routines and the rituals that we do, or that I have more or less when we do stuff like that.
Right on. We just started the year, and you've already mentioned a few ideas and possible trips that you might have for this year, not just personally, but also for Outdoor Adventures Plus. Any hiking or outdoor goals for you personally and for the group?
Me personally is to basically get back in shape. At one point for a couple of years, I was at it, and I've been kind of inactive. And I notice when I'm on a hike and I'm like huffing and puffing and breathing like the fat rhinoceros in Jumanji, that I got to work on that and get better at that, because it's one of those things that I love. And, you know, kind of like what my wife pointed out, it's helped me with my mental health as well. And as a group, just to continue to see us grow and, you know, be able to provide these amazing experiences that we have coming up. I'll kind of elaborate a little bit on some of them. Is Rudy is teaming up with another person in the community named Patty, and she hosts her own group, but they're doing a lot of backpacking trip this year. One of them is to Santa Cruz Islands, which is a part of the Channel Islands. And Sam is leading some experiences to Big Pine Lakes in the Eastern Sierras. We got some good hikes, some good collaborations, one to kick off the year, which you'll be a part of when you come down in February. We're going to host another one with Just Trek. Not going to say too much about that because everybody will find out eventually. But yeah, we look forward to this new year and seeing what it has in store, and just seeing the people in this family grow and basically make what they planned out become a reality and have fun doing it.
Yeah, 2024 is going to be a great year for both you and the group. And I'm excited to see all the content that you're able to share on your Instagram feed of not just the trips that you mentioned, but of all the individuals that get to enjoy the outdoors with you. Well, that was it for the regular questions. This last section of the podcast is the this or that questions. Now, they have been updated since we last did it on Caminatas and Micrófonos. Some of them stayed the same, but there are a couple new ones. We'll start off with the first one. Do you prefer a steep incline or a steep decline?
Oh, man, that one is hard. I'm going to say a steep incline.
And then waterfalls or summits?
I'm going to have to say summits.
Do you prefer trails with switchbacks or do you prefer to go straight up?
I prefer to go straight up.
And then do you rock trek poles or you prefer freehand?
Depending on the trail, but I do carry them in case I need them or in case somebody else needs them.
And when it comes to your footwear, do you prefer trail runners or hiking boots?
Ultra trail running shoes. The best shoe ever made for a big guy like me with wide feet. There's nothing like that toe box on ultras.
Now, here's another trail system question. Do you prefer a loop trail or an out and back trail?
I would say a loop, because I think with the loop, you get different views.
And then when it comes to bodies of water on the trail or off the trail, do you prefer to stay dry or do you touch the water, jump in, or even just dunk your toes?
I will soak my legs for sure. I will not jump completely in, but I will find a pool of water that's deep enough where I can submerge a good portion of my legs to make the pain go away.
This is where it gets tough, but sunset hikes or sunrise hikes?
Sunset, that's easy.
And then spring wildflowers or fall colors?
I'm going to say spring flowers right now, but eventually it might change if I go to a place where I can actually experience fall colors.
And then the last one is outside of the national park system. Do you prefer national forests or state parks?
I'm going to say state parks, because California alone has 290 plus state parks.
Oh man. Well, that was it for the this or that questions. It was a really great pleasure to have you back on the podcast. I'm looking forward to meeting you in person here in the middle of February, and really appreciate everything that you're doing there in the Bakersfield community. If folks want to follow your journey, where can they follow you at, and as well as Outdoor Adventures Plus?
Okay, my personal is at @_JUAN_flowers_ And you can find us on Outdoor Adventures Plus as well at _OUTADVPLUS_. Those are the two places you can find us. Follow my personal journey, but also follow the journey of Outdoor Adventure Plus and kind of get a gist of what we're all about, what we like doing and hosting, so that hopefully one day you guys will be able to join us.
Right on. And we'll be sure to link those in the episode show notes so people can follow along. Thank you so much, brother, for coming back on the podcast. Really looking forward to what 2024 has to offer for you.
And thank you for having us again, Ivan. And it's been a pleasure. And I definitely look forward to meeting you soon.
And that brings us to the end of this episode alongside Jonathan. We extend our heartfelt thanks to him for coming back on the podcast. Make sure to stay connected and follow his upcoming adventures on Instagram at _JuanFlowers_. And don't forget to check out the episode show notes to learn more about his group, Outdoors Adventures Plus. We have an incredible lineup of episodes planned throughout the winter months, and we can't wait to share them with you. New episodes will be dropping every Monday, with occasional bonus episodes on Fridays. To ensure you never miss out on those thrilling tales, remember to hit that like and subscribe button. Your support means the world to us. Don't forget to join our vibrant community on Instagram, at Hikes and Mikes. We'll be sharing episode visuals, my own personal hiking content, and so much more. Let's stay connected and continue to inspire each other on this remarkable journey. As we bid farewell, remember to tread those happy trails, embrace the great outdoors, and keep the spirit of adventure alive. Until next time, my fellow explorers, happy hiking. This episode's music was created by Ketsa. Follow him on Instagram, at Ketsa Music. This episode is brought to you by Flip Socks. Whether you're on the trail, on the job, or in the yard, Flip Socks will keep Mother Nature out of your boots with their innovative nylon sleeve. You no longer need to worry about any annoying debris getting trapped in your boots during your hikes. Simply flip down the nylon sleeve over any boot to prevent Mother Nature from finding its way inside, keeping your feet comfortable all day long. To get your first pair, visit flipsockswithaz.com and enter promo code HikesMikes10 at checkout to receive 10% off your order. And for listeners who use the promo code at checkout, I'll be donating 100% of the Season 2 promo code proceeds to Big City Mountaineers, who provide transformative experiences through connections to nature that strengthen life skills and build community for youth and disinvested communities across the nation. So if you're tired of bits and pieces of the trail finding its way into your hiking boots, pick up a pair of Flip Socks today with the promo code HikesMikes10 to get 10% off. For website and promo code, see the episode description.